Well, welcome back to the God School. That is thegodschool.com. We are continuing to look at God's faithfulness in His Word, through His Word, through the history of His Word, because we are in chaotic times, which somehow, sometimes, would suggest by circumstance, God is not faithful, but God is faithful, and I, like I hope you are, am like Isaiah, who said, I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. So we're continuing in this series, showing off God's faithfulness. Welcome back to the God School. We're in a series called A Time for Hiding is over. We are attempting, we are putting forward through God's Word to show God is in control, and to put God and His faithfulness on display. Truly, truly, the gospel of Jesus Christ does encourage us, does give us hope. Does incite us to trust in Jesus Christ our Lord, and in God our Father. Truly the most well-known verse of Scripture is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that those who believe should not perish, but have life everlasting. But there are more than 30,000 other verses in the Bible, which we call God's Word, and God had other things to say, because as we walk in this body, in this flesh, many of the things that we do have in Christ Jesus are not seen. But God has,
through his word, put his faithfulness on display, that we may see them that are faith. May be strengthened and the foundations of that gift of God called faith might be broadened. We are looking at the promises of God to his chosen people, Israel, to see whether or not God keeps his word. Because it is his faithfulness. Now, I'm not quite ready to get back into the promises yet. In the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, in the 9th verse, let's go to the 8th verse. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, and when you see that word behold, it means stop, listen, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare, before they spring forth, I, who's the I, the Lord, tell you of them. God has through his word all the way back in the book of Genesis means beginnings. God chose a man, changed his name to Abraham, and he began to tell forth his purposes, that through Abraham and his descendants, what God would do. We turn back, and this is extra, this is not part of the numbered promises which we are going through, wherein God tells forth before they come to pass and profiles that people called Israel. are not identified exclusively as the Jews, but as we have through the promises so far and will continue, they encompass all Israel, of whom the Jew is only one of the 12 sons of Israel. God speaking to his people in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 7th chapter, says in the 6th verse, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto him, unto himself, above all the people that are on the face of the earth." Listen to this. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." I want to point a couple things out. In that 9th verse of this 7th chapter, it says, "He is God, the faithful God." The Hebrew says, "the Amen God." That is, the one in whom there is no doubt. Not the traditional "so be it" God, like a wish, but in God there is no doubt. As he speaks, it is. "He did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." We have already told you the end of, or the conclusion, as to who these chosen people of God, or the people that God has chosen to be a special people, not to bring morality to the people, not that they were more, if you would, to use license in this 7th verse, not because they were more moral than the rest of the people in the earth. Because God says they were the least. But through them, throughout history, God would use his people Israel as his oracle voice, whether they were willing or unwilling, whether they were faithful or unfaithful. And we'll speak a little about that today. God, who describes himself as one who keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I would say that the criteria for God keeping his covenant has more to do with his choice than the response from his people. But he has nonetheless made a choice, and through them, his word, his even his gospel, that is Godspiel, that is God's word, would be brought to the world. And I tell you unequivocally to whoever hears this message that God's word was not brought through the Hebrew. It was not brought through the Greek. It was not brought through the Latin. It was not brought through the Chinese, the Spanish, or the Italian. But God's word was published throughout the whole world in the English language. Which is the language of that great commonwealth of nations, and that great nation which just happens to be Great Britain and the United States. We ended last week on the 18th promise as, now this is an arbitrary, these are arbitrary numbers, but these numbers I got from my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, years and years ago. And this numbering, as we said earlier, is an attempt through God's word that he told before time, before it came to pass. It's a profiling of who God's people, Israel, would be. And we finished. Promise 18 was Deuteronomy 33:13-17. I'm not going to repeat it. If you read it for yourself. Numbers 19 and 20. Before I do that, last week we skipped Promise 16, which is Hosea, first chapter, fourth verse. I'm given the promises, Lord willing, I'll go back and teach out of this whole book of Hosea. But one thing you need to understand about this book of Hosea, about who Hosea is, he was a prophet to Israel. He was a prophet to the house of Israel. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom. He was a prophet to Ephraim. He was a prophet to the house of Joseph. All these are synonymous with Israel. And God, through Hosea, begins to tell a story about the unfaithfulness of his people Israel. And it says in the fourth verse, and the Lord said unto him, he had, I just number the verses. We'll go back and attempt to give context of the specific message. But it says, and the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. God is telling Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. Go marry a whore and have children by her. And the first child you're going to have, I want you to name his name Jezreel. Listen, it means scattered. And God says he's going to cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. That is, that northern kingdom whose throne, he's going to cause that throne to cease, but he does not say that he is going to cause to cease the house of Israel, just that kingdom. Now, we started this series way back. I think this might be message number 6. Back in 2 Samuel 7, where God promises to David a perpetual throne and that his seed would perpetually sit upon it. We have number 16 was Hosea 1:4. We go to Promises 19 and 20 are contained in the 10th verse of that same first chapter of Hosea. It says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. Promise 19. God is continuing to remind us of his promises to Abraham, to Sarah, to Isaac, to Rebekah. To Jacob, these are the birthright promises. That's number 19. Number 20 is so God is telling that story. Of Jezreel, which means scattered, that is, God is going to scatter his people. He's going to have two more children. One is going to be named Lo-Ruhamah. That means not having obtained mercy. And the other is, the third child is going to be named Lo-Ammi. I hope you can stay with me through this because... messages. The faithful God, the Amen God. And Lo-Ammi means not my people. So God says of this house of Israel, he's going to cause the kingdom, that is the throne, but not the people, to cease. He's going to scatter them. They're not going to be known as having his mercy. They're not going to be known any longer as his people. Yet their number, which shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered. And then God says, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, in the place, remember, God says all the way back in 2 Samuel, I will appoint a place for my people. Here we have, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. The 11th verse says, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel, just another example, God sees them as two people. We're going to see that in just a moment. Shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together? Just trying to give further witness, promise number 21 is 2 Chronicles 13:5. This is where the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, and the house of Judah, the southern kingdom, are going to go to war. And the king of Judah says unto the house of Israel in 2 Chronicles 13:5, he says, ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even unto him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Salt is a preservative, and the picture in the Hebrew is a perpetual covenant. Let's go further. Leaving so many messages by the wayside. Turn to Ezekiel 23, to the fourth verse. That this is Numbers 20 or number 21a. Ezekiel, through God, is looking back at this chosen people, this special people to God. He's looking back to the time when they were in Egypt, and he says, and the names of them were Aholah the elder and Aholibah her sister. Excuse me. And they were mine, and they bare sons and daughters, and their names, Samaria is Aholah. Samaria, again, another name synonymous with house of Israel, northern kingdom. Samaria is Aholah, and Jerusalem is Aholibah. We're developing through God's word a profile. Deuteronomy 24:1 is promise 21b. It says, when a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Promise 21c is Jeremiah 3:6. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? We're not talking about Aholibah, Jerusalem. We're talking about Aholah, Israel. She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there has played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. Listen, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Go back to Hosea, the second chapter. This is 21D. And it says, in the second chapter, the second verse, plead with your mother, plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. God gives a description of his chosen people. That demonstrates their unrighteousness. And he, through both the northern house of Israel and the southern house of Judah, God does not paint a picture of these people without their warts. Nonetheless, he is faithful, and he chose them. He didn't choose them because they were anything special, but they were special because he chose them. In this Christian walk, God did not choose us in Christ Jesus because somehow or other he recognized that we were righteous. He's describing a chosen people here who were unrighteous. Nevertheless, through them he would demonstrate his faithfulness. And the Christian, as Paul says, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. We're talking about a faithful God who told a story of his people and demonstrated it throughout the history of mankind. Isaiah chapter 50 is promise 21E, the first verse. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorce, whom I put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities, you have sold yourselves. And for your transgressions is your mother put away. Promise 21F. Stay with me, folks. Is Isaiah 54:6 and 7. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. to stop just for a moment. And as we are showing the consistency of God's faithfulness, I want to show the consistency in the words of Scripture. It says, but with great mercies will I gather thee. The word being translated mercies here in the Hebrew is racham, and it is from the root ruhama. In Hosea, that second child, it says, call her name Lo Ruhama. You put Lo in front of the Hebrew, it means not. Therefore, if we, with understanding, translate that second child's name, it means not having mercy. But God says, with great mercies will I gather thee. Promise number 22. Turn to Jeremiah, first chapter. God's telling a story through his word. You know, those who read through the Bible in 72, 82, and 92, and 2002, oh, look what a great thing I've done. I've read through the Bible. They don't have any understanding of what God has said. And I'm forever grateful for God's faithfulness, because he promised to give gifts to the church, and it is through Dr. Gene Scott and his teachings that understanding, some understanding, is brought forth out of God's word as to God's purposes, as to God's will, wherein we may understand that God having trouble organizing this thought, but God help me. God did not call us that he should bend to every whim and desire of our heart, but that we should bend to every whim and desire of his heart and pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Thy will be done. Promise 22, Jeremiah 1, the 10th verse. Now Jeremiah He's a prophet called mainly in the southern kingdom. To the southern kingdom. The house of Judah. But we find many references, and this be one of them, wherein both the house of Judah and the house of Israel are remembered. He says, see, God speaking to Jeremiah, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Nations, kingdoms, is that of all the world? Is that the kingdoms of all the world? No. Two nations, Israel and Judah. Kingdoms, two nations, Israel and Judah. To do what? To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down every fire, brimstone, preacher around certainly grabs hold of these when they try to put sinners in their place. And they forget these last words. To root out, to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to plant and to build. So we ask the question, where did this trustee, that is one set over the nations, this trustee of the nations, Israel and Judah, where we know historically the rooting out, the pulling down, the destroying, the throwing down, both of the house of Israel under the hand of Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, and of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, who destroyed Jerusalem, who threw it down. But where did this trustee plant and build? Or where did he build and plant, as the word says? We're continuing in the profile of the promises of God to a people he chose. Promise 23 is Jeremiah 3, the 12th verse. Go and proclaim these words toward the north. And say, return thou black backsliding Israel. Where did he say? To the north. Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Jeremiah 3:14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. An identifiable mount in the city of Jerusalem. Promise house number 24 is found in Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors, God speaking, according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. By the grace of God, I have every confidence that I was given a pastor because he did give me, he fed me with knowledge and understanding. I am attempting, though feeble, I know, to give you knowledge and understanding, knowledge of the history of God's people, not just house of Judah, but the house of Israel also. And we will, by God's word, give you knowledge where history comes replete, and its message is, God is faithful, that you might have an understanding that when he makes all the promises in Christ Jesus, we can count on them, though we do not see them. As Paul says, we look not unto the things which are seen, but unto the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. But God, in his kindness, in his loving kindness, and his great mercy, has demonstrated through this book, through history, he is faithful. And even though we can't see it, we, by faith, can grab hold of all the promises of God, which are yea in Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ are amen, that is, no doubt. Wherein as the psalmist says, Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory and honor, for thy mercy, chesed, which can be counted or translated grace, and for thy truth's sake, thy just goes to show you we're alive, and for thy faithfulness' sake. That's the God School for today.